broadcasting from Melbourne, Victoria. You're listening to the Investor Exchange. Tune in each week and listen to the guys from United Global Capital discuss the topics that matter the most to your finances. Each episode will help you separate the noise from what really matters, giving you timely and actionable information you can use. We'll cover areas related to financial markets, property, politics, personal finance, and the economy. Now, here's your host.
Hey, everyone, it's Louis here. I was asked to choose one of my favorite segments of the podcast. Every part where I'm talking is my favorite. But here's one in particular about personal finance.
And now let's hear from the star of our show. Louis, what have you got to say today?
Thank you. I am the star today, aren't I?
Yeah, very much.
Fantastic.
So.
Well, I'm usually the star every day of my life. So
just ask me.
Yeah, that's right. Just ask. So what I wanted to talk about was something in personal finance I come across a lot is people who have not yet been active in investing. They don't own property, they don't own share portfolios, they're not active with their superannuation, not doing much with their personal finance. And the question comes up, well, why haven't you invested yet? And they're like, well, I'm not really sure the right time to invest, or more importantly, I've got some reasons why I don't want to be invested or haven't invested yet. So I'm thinking, what are the barriers, what are the excuses that typically stop people from becoming an investor or becoming active with their long-term financial future? So when I'm having these conversations with people, I typically get a few common misconceptions of reasons why they haven't done anything yet. Probably the biggest one that concerns me, which is most factually incorrect, is where people want to pay off their home loan in full before they start investing.
Yeah. Particularly now.
So in a low interest rate environment, we're talking?
In a low interest rate environment. But the concept has held for years and years. Since interest rates were really high, like 18% high, but even in that period of time, it coincided with financial markets getting major returns, not at exactly the same time, but around in that time frame. The thing is, if a person pays off their home loan in full, and let's say they take 20 years to pay off their home loan, and they do manage to pay it off early. So if someone gets their home loan when they're, say, 30 years old, and then pays it off by the time they're 50, which is pretty unlikely because, you know, between
having
30 and 40, most people have a young family. But if they do manage to pay it off by 50 or 55, then they start investing. They've only got a 10 to 15 year window of time to accumulate all their retirement savings. And what they're doing is they're not giving their investments as much time as they could to earn growth and income returns, which are reinvested.
And compound.
Well, paying, you know, the concept of paying down debt at higher levels of interest rates makes sense. But if that's all you're doing and you're not taking some of that equity to then reinvest back into something else, then you're going to find yourself in some real trouble, because all you're doing is just paying down a consumable item.
Yep.
And you're not going to end up with any capital at the end of the day other than the house that you live in.
Yep. That's right.
You've got to be doing more than that.
And just as a quick example of how the numbers work out, which demonstrates how factually incorrect it is, I did a simple calculation on 10 years worth of a theoretical example. Let's say someone has $500 a month that they could put into extra home loan repayments versus putting it into salary sacrifice to super.
Okay.
Oh, huge.
And when it goes into super, I've used a rate of return of 10%, which is the average share market return over the last 100 years.
Okay.
Which is what Joel always tells us.
Yep.
So for that $500 per month, if they put it into their home loan in, through additional repayments, yes, their home loan would be $75,000 better off over 10 years.
Yeah.
Which is nice. That's good, right? But if they had salary sacrificed it to superannuation, they would be $142,000 better off in their super funds.
That's quite a bit of difference.
It's about double.
Yeah.
So if you are not investing, if you're just paying off your home loan, well, you could be wasting half of your money.
You probably are wasting, almost certainly wasting.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Most certainly. Yeah. It's just the way the numbers work.
Yeah.
It's just the factual information and the system that we work in. It's not necessarily super contributions either. The investment strategy could be something different, something that still achieves capital growth, mm-hmm. earns an income return, and is tax efficient in some way. So the actual strategy, I've used super as an example, but then when you project it over 20 years, the numbers get even bigger. So home loan, obviously there's more time for the interest to compound, but the same applies to super. There's more time for the interest to compound. And the difference is not just double the difference, it's three or four times the difference because of that compounding impact. So when you talk about over a 20 or 30 year working life from the age of 30 to 60, you're talking about, it's almost like you're retiring twice.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can retire twice.
Yeah,
you're leaving too much money on the table.
That's right, versus retiring just the once.
Yep.
In fact, the reality is you probably won't retire at age 60 if you just pay off your home loan and don't invest until your later years.
Yeah.
So you have to have your investment strategy now. So that's a common misconception, which is just wrong, and there needs to be the information to give people permission to invest instead of paying off their home loan first.
Louis, can I just add, there's two numbers that stick in my mind around that concept, is that if you're paying down your home loan, typically at the moment your mortgage rates are around 4%.
That's right.
And if the long-term stock market returns 10%, it's like, well, if I've got this money at 4% and I can achieve 10% with it, aren't I better off to use it in that market?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But that comes to the next couple of points.
Okay.
So people don't always have 100% confidence in their personal finance. And that's fair enough. And we put in place programs for people so that they can get their finances into a position where they do have 100% confidence that they can commit to an investment strategy.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's just a matter of helping them get their house in order. That might take a month, but it takes a bit of expertise to actually make it happen. If you've never got your financial house in order before, well, then how are you going to do it now? And how are you going to be confident that that you're ready?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be proactive in getting the information by either engaging an expert or reading some books or talking to other people who have done it before in order to get the 100% confidence. Now, even 100% confidence doesn't mean 100% certainty.
No, there's nothing in this world that is ever certain.
Because if you're uncertain about your job, if you're uncertain about where you're going to be living, if you might change your house, if you're uncertain about your family situation, you might have another child or a child starting school. If you're uncertain about these things, you just need a plan in case those things happen.
Yeah.
So you don't need your life to be perfect. You just need to have certain plans in place, and including contingency plans, risk management. If something happens to my health, do I have insurance cover in place to make sure my income continues?
Mm. Yep.
So getting 100% confidence, again, there's a bit of a process of making sure those things are covered. Some people then say, well, I don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to choosing an investment.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Where can you get the knowledge? Same thing. You can engage an expert. You can read books or get the knowledge from learning it from somewhere. Or you can talk to people that have done it before.
Yep.
Choose one.
Most definitely.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Don't think, just do.
That's right.
Don't
because
think.
It's life-changing. It's not life-changing today, but it will be extremely life-changing when you are in your later years.
Yeah. You just got to put the excuses aside and just take some action.
Yep, that's right. And then the last excuse I come up with is, well, the market doesn't seem good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not an expert investor and you're hearing that the market is not good, I'm just guessing that you're hearing it from The Age or The Herald Sun or The Morning Herald or
Today Show.
And wiped off shares.
That's right. So if you're listening to them, that information, if it is correct information, that information is already priced into the market.
Yeah.
So if it is truly an uncertain time, that uncertainty has already resulted in the market being discounted. So you're buying your investment at fair value.
Mm.
But there's also a good chance that that information is actually just noise, not true information. So again, it pays to get proper research from expert investors, which you can Typically, you have to pay for it because free information is usually worth what you pay for it.
Yes.
Or it you costs can you. You can engage an expert to who does have the knowledge. So if you are uncertain, it's only because of the sources of information that you're getting your news from.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd say there. Yeah. Guys, would you have any other reasons that you come up with?
Mindset's like, always a tough one.
Yeah.
Just dysfunctionality around money, which we've all got to some degree.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
Yeah, most definitely. No, Louis, I think you've hit it all on the head. No doubt about that.
Well, I'm pretty awesome.
Star of our show.
I happen to know what I'm doing when it comes to these things.
Very good.
That's right. Been doing it for a while. So that's my two cents.
Well, Louis, I just on that note.
Are you concerned about your finances? Maybe you're not sure if you'll have enough money to retire on. Or maybe you've received a redundancy, inheritance, or even a significant promotion, or perhaps a life-changing medical diagnosis. Regardless of your concern or financial position, United Global Capital's advisors are experts in the areas of strategic financial planning, taxation, superannuation and self-managed superannuation funds, risk management, estate planning, and investments. Don't let fate dictate your financial future. Take control today and contact United Global Capital for a no-cost, no-obligation financial strategy consultation. Simply call 03 8657 7640 or email info@ugc.net.au and book your appointment today.
I think, Louis, you were going to give us some advice to our listeners on planning and thinking ahead.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, so from a personal finance point of view, what do you do if you are nervous about where your investment is sitting with markets being down at the moment? So from a financial planning point of view, there should be, I think, a separation between your personal finance and your investment finance. So what I would say is, firstly, if you're concerned about your investment being lower in value because of this volatility that's happening, and you're thinking perhaps of getting that money out, then I'd be saying, well, actually, it's too late. When you decided to get into that investment, those are the risks that you should have known, and you should have made sure that you would be comfortable with this kind of volatility at the time that you made the investment. Often that's what people forget when they choose to invest in a moment of comfort because the market had been going up at the time. They weren't thinking of, well, what about when things get a little bit uncomfortable? How am I going to behave at that time? So when you get into an investment, you need to be thinking, well, this is how it's been recently, but how might it be in future? And the people get burned are the ones who get uncomfortable and sell out.
Yeah, which is, again, back down to psychology, because I would say the same. When my portfolio is doing well, I never want to have any interest. It's great. It's just ticking along. But the moment I see a drop, that's when I panic and want to know what's going on and freak out. So it's again, it comes down to human psychology.
Yeah.
We just want to see it going up all the time.
Yeah, right? We do. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Because we like certainty. We don't like uncertainty. And what we need to, what I tell my clients is this money in your investments, don't think of it as your money anymore.
Yeah.
It's not. It's there for the purpose of you having it in 10 years' time. So think of your future self as a different person. So it was your money. When you decided to invest it, you handed it to a physically different person, which is still yourself, but it's your future self, not your present self. And your future self in 10 years' time, it's if it's invested in the stock markets, well, the stock markets, as Joel has said, never had a 10-year period of time with a negative return. So your current selves hand it to your future self for 10 years or 20 years' time, whatever it is, and it's invested in such a way for that person's benefit.
What if it's not performing too well after 10 years, though?
Well, that was the decision that you took at the time. Yes, you want to review it and make sure it is constantly managed in the best possible way, and so you do need to make judgment calls, but the time and the context to make judgment calls is not at a time of your greatest discomfort because of volatility. So, yeah.
Correct.
Want to learn the strategies that have achieved returns more than double the return of the average superannuation fund? Each day, clients of United Global Capital are using strategies and tactics that were once thought the domain of the professional investor or the super rich. Book your seat at UGC's Financial Fast Track Seminars, where you'll learn the science behind selecting high-performance stocks and real estate, how you can participate in advanced strategies like property development, short selling, and international investments, as well as how to protect your wealth against major adverse market events. To secure your seat, simply go to ugc.net.au/events and select the seminar that suits your needs. Seats are limited, so book your spot now.
And welcome back, guys. We're now going to throw over to Louis with the last topic for the day.
Thank you, Steph. I wanted to talk about a bit of human psychology. And we don't pay enough attention to human psychology, but because it is subconscious, but it drives so much of what we do, and so much success or lack of success comes down to our psychology and our behaviour. And I wanted to bring up the fact that a lot of our decisions are really made based on our fears and our discomforts.
Yep.
So when we're in a shopping environment, we're constantly weighing up. If we see something that we want to have, a new suit or a pair of shoes, we think, oh, well, that would make me comfortable, but spending money on it would make me uncomfortable. Okay, well, if I have this, I can either have this new suit or I can be uncomfortable with my old suit. So am I more uncomfortable with my old clothing, or am I more uncomfortable with spending money on something new? So which one am I uncomfortable with more, and one of them will win?
Mm.
So many of our decisions are made based on those fears and those discomforts. The same goes for housing,
yeah,
where we live. So it's less about where am I going to be comfortable. Obviously, that's part of it, but the actual decision at the end of it, the reason why we say yes, is based on the discomforts that we're trying to weigh up.
Yeah.
Am I going to be uncomfortable thinking that I've missed this opportunity, or am I going to be uncomfortable having a mortgage of that size and bidding up that high at an auction? So where is my discomfort? Same thing goes for investing. Am I going to be uncomfortable having not bought this share, or am I going to be uncomfortable having potentially missed an opportunity?
Mm.
So many of our decisions are around that. And a big source of information for me was a book called Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. A book by Carol Javris and Elliot Aronson. It's a fantastic book on human psychology and how we justify our decisions after the fact. And in our mind, in our psychology, it doesn't actually matter what our decision was, we're going to find reasons to support it after we've made it. So,
We're all guilty.
If someone has bought a new car, then they are always going to love their purchase, because they're going to find reasons why they love it.
Yeah, you justify
so it. So if you're now buying, if you're looking to buy a new car yourself, the worst person to ask is someone who just bought a new car. If you ask a person who just spent money on a new car, what are they going to say about it? They're going to say,
it's great.
Best thing ever. Yeah.
Mate, it's fantastic.
You got to do it.
I made a huge freaking mistake.
Yeah, as if they're going to say
it's
that.
It's a lemon.
Yep, exactly. I'm going to justify it this way. I'm going to justify it that way. And it's that we, as humans, we tend to support the decisions we've made.
Yeah.
Same for a person who's just moved into a house that they maybe can't afford, or done all these things.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a long-term buyer. We're going to be here forever. Yeah. You know, it's our family. It's our dream home, our family home.
Yeah. Yep. Suddenly your home is, it's an investment.
Yeah.
That's why we went with the extra polished concrete flooring or the...
Yeah, that's right.
...marble tiles. So
yep,
everyone
exactly.
does it.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a classic one. Or everyone does it, so we've done it. No, they don't. You've just formed that belief in your head to justify your decision to yourself.
Yeah.
So we do these things.
Is it because everyone wants to feel good about the decisions they've made, and if they're not quite feeling great about it, they have to keep building it up until they do feel good?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's the psychology of it.
Yeah. But also, so, I think it starts a cycle too of, you know, if you do purchase that house, there's a fear factor then to have to stay in your job. You know, you almost can sometimes trap yourself because you go, oh, God, I've got to stay for the next 5 years because I have to pay down this mortgage now.
Yeah. Well, so here's the cycle that we get into. Ooh. We make one decision and we do it based on our unconscious fears and discomforts.
Yeah.
And we make these decisions unconsciously. So we make one decision and then it leads to being many a slave others. To your job. Yep. And then in your job, you're faced with a decision. Well, do I move to another job with its own fears and discomforts? Yeah. Will I be am I jumping out of the frying pan into the fire? Yeah. Or is it worth the more money or longer hours? And you make another decision based on your fears. Mm. That leads to another decision based on your fears because your new job is in a different location. Do we move house again?
Yeah.
All these things come up and you're in this cycle. So here's my advice. My advice is to be clear on your priorities and what really makes you uncomfortable in life. It's kind of the opposite of goal setting. It's fear setting. Mm. What are your biggest fears? What are your biggest discomforts in life? And if you have a clear list of what really makes you uncomfortable in life, well, then you can make your decisions around it. For example, if you have a bigger fear of how people perceive you than the fear of not having long-term financial success, that's okay. Just be true to yourself and have that on your list of priorities and then live your life according to your values. Now, I don't support those values because I think financial success is important. So maybe you reach a balance. But if you have a clear list, then each time you're faced with a purchasing decision, you know, do I value my health more than my money? Mm. And how do I balance the two? Then when I'm trying to make a decision, this pair of, you know, this the purchase of a new bed, which I'm doing now, if I get a really supportive mattress that costs more money, that's going to support my health and my sleep. So do I value it that way? Well, where do my fears sit? I do fear a bad night of sleep. Don't know about you guys. Yeah. So I am willing to spend more money on a proper chiropractic mattress. Shout out to Dr. Jim at Melbourne Chiropractic for his mattress range. So I'm going to make a decision based on that, and that's okay. But it's consciously balancing those things that I'm uncomfortable with.
Yep.
Don't make your decision based on your unconscious discomforts. Because then you're going to make directionless decisions about where you live, the job that you have, the clothes that you wear, and all these things.
Be aware and be honest with yourself.
Yep. That's correct.
Good advice.
And that's my message for today.
Fantastic.
Very good.
Yeah, great work.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us for another episode. We hope you enjoyed today's content, and we'll be back again next week. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Louis.
Thank you, Joel.
Bye for now.
Catch you all soon.
You've been listening to this week's episode of The Investor Exchange. To access this episode's show notes, go to theinvestorexchange.com.au and follow us on Facebook at The Investor Exchange for updates on our latest episodes. This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. Before making any investment decision, contact United Global Capital by emailing ugc.net.au for a personalised, no-cost, no-obligation financial strategy consultation. Or alternatively, email us at info@ugc.net.au.